Case number 12663, Michelle McNichol and Jewel Estes seek variances from the front yard setback, side yard setback, and maximum fence height requirements for proposed structures. The section 115-25, 115-182, 115-183, and 115-185 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is a through lot located on the west side of Daisy Road and the east side of Bay Road. The 911 address is 20642 Daisy Road, Rehoboth Beach. The zoning district is AR1. The tax parcel is District 334, map 19.12, parcel 43. They're seeking a 14.1 foot and 18.7 foot variance from the 30 foot front yard setback requirement along Daisy Road for a proposed garage, a 21.1 foot and 24 foot variance from the 30 foot front yard setback requirement along Bay Road for the proposed pool house, an 11.8 foot, 17.6 foot, and 20.3 foot variance from the 30 foot front yard setback along Bay Road for the proposed pool, a 13.5 foot, 19.6 foot, and 24 foot variance from the 30 foot front yard setback requirement along Bay Road for a proposed walkway, a 19 foot and 16.1 foot variance from the 30 foot front yard setback requirement along Bay Road for a proposed outdoor kitchen, and a 2.5 foot variance from the 3.5 foot maximum height requirement for a fence in a front yard setback. We have five letters of support, zero opposition, and one mail return.
Do you want to have them sworn in now?
Please.
Can you state your name and address for the record?
Michelle McNichol, 20642 Daisy Road, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
Thank you.
Jewel Estes, 20642 Daisy Road. Rehoboth,
and do you both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
We do.
Thank you.
Members of the board, I am Bill Schaub, here on behalf of my clients on what I think is one of the more unusual variances. It's supposed to be unique as one of the criteria, and this is the whole application is in fact unique. But when you look through it, it's unique due to total circumstances, one, beyond my client's control, and to somewhat the luck of the draw, in that what causes most of the variance, this is just a general overview first, is the fact that they have a road in front of their house and a road behind their house. In front of their house, they already have an encroaching structure. So with their plans, if it's granted, that encroaching structure will actually be moved. There will be a corner of their house that encroaches on the front yard, but it'll be less encroaching on the front. The back variances are needed, are almost needed, except for one, because there's a road behind them. Were it not for the road and the additional 30-foot setback, they had to meet the typical rear setbacks, I think there'd only been one variance required. Now, but what is also unique about both roads, as you can probably see on the drawing, is both roads dead end right in front of their house. No one can drive in front of their house, no one can drive behind their house. Both roads end right there. So you can see that in the pictures as well. So in terms of impact on the road, the view, the vision of drivers, it's zero, because there are no drivers who can drive either in front of their property or behind. They stop, the roads stop basically at their property lines. You may not be able to tell, but my clients went to extreme lengths to design a house that would be sufficient for them. They've been there 19 years. They intend to keep living there on a full-time basis. It's like so many of the other houses in the Forgotten Mile. It's truly one of those that is forgotten. It's even hard to find in there. It was an older beach-type home. They want to modernize the house. You could see they have no side yard variances being requested. I had a number of meetings with the planning and zoning office before we came, and we went through all the different issues, and they were very careful to try to limit the number of variances that they would need in order to get their new home. And so let's see here. The first of all, if I may, I need to make a correction in something I said. It's because we oftentimes bring up, in fact, the last hearing example, how far the distance is from the paved road to the property edge. And I want to tell you, somewhere in my presentation, I said it was 20, 30 feet from the property edge of paver. I was totally wrong. If you look at the pictures, you can see I was wrong. The pavement comes right up to the property line. So I don't think it has an effect on what we're talking about, but I did want to point out. I was looking at the far edge of the pavement when I wrote it, said it was 30 feet. So if you could disregard that.
While we're talking on the roads, I just wanted to make sure. You had said that the roads termin, there's a terminus basically at the applicant's property. But looking at that aerial, it does look like Bay Road continues on. I just want to make sure, is that road terminating or does that continue on beyond there? I wasn't clear.
It terminates into the state park.
It's Thompson Island Reserve, Park Reserve, and there's...
It's not for driving.
It's just a gravel path.
There's a little bit that you can go back just a little bit further to park a little bit, but then you have to get out of your car, and that's where you start the walking path back into the Indian Reserves. So it's a state park.
Okay. All right. Thank you. The aerial was kind of confusing on that. I want to make sure it cleared up. Thank you.
So, again, if we can, the uniqueness, the shape of the lot makes it unique. The size of the lot, the narrowness of the lot, but most importantly, it's the existence of the two roads. But also what is unique about this is the few number of people that could conceivably be, to the extent a variance affects people. On the one side, as you can see on the map and as on the survey, one side is bordered by Spring Lake Condominium. It's just big wide open, it's a big fence. And then a wide open area on the one side. There's a road on the front and back, and there's one neighbor, the Sykes, is that the Seek?
Seeks.
And
Cam,
they have.
Cam and Ellen.
Yes, S-I-E-K, and they have a letter, and they are in full support of this. Each neighbor has seen their plans, and the letters are based on those, review the plans. So there are many, many unique features of all this, but most importantly is that it's the road, particularly the road behind. And as I said before, the encroaching structure in the front, there will still be a front yard variance, but it is far less encroaching than the existing garage that is there. That cannot otherwise be developed in accordance with the county. Again, no side yard setbacks being needed. The front yard is going to be in compliance other than one little corner, and again, it'll be more in compliance than the existing structure. And it is the rear that obviously requires the bulk of the variances. But as was discussed at the last hearing, there can be reasons for setback off of roads, but I think that presumes that the road is a road that people drive on. I mean, this is very unique in that the road ends. So it's affecting nobody except for them if they are required to have a rear yard setback equivalent to their front yard setback. It basically means they just can't use their backyard, yet there is no traffic behind their backyard that is affected by anything they do in their backyard. Not created by the applicant. Well, they certainly didn't put the roads there. They didn't put the size or shape of their lot. And so all the conditions that they face have been there. They did not create any of this. And again, I think the amount of time they and I have been working on this, I think they first contacted me 2 years ago to do this. And again, there were many meetings, and Ms. Norwood and Mr. Whitehouse were very kind. We had, I think, three different meetings to go over all the plans just to be sure we could get it as clean as we could get it. And here we are tonight. Will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. This is just a neighborhood that's in flux, like every neighborhood at the beach. I was in here a year and a half ago or so with two variances right across the street from this property. And they were granted. It's just because it's older beach houses that are now being modernized. by people, because in this case, people are living there full-time, and what they had was great for a while, but as we get a little older, we like amenities like, furnaces that work and stairs that don't creak and the like. But most importantly, almost everybody in the surrounding area has written also agreeing that, in fact, most have said, which is pretty common here, that they believe that the changes will benefit the neighborhood and not adversely impact the neighborhood. The minimum variance, again, in this case, with the back, they basically couldn't use their backyard for anything but open space without a variance because of the 30-foot setback. Their front yard, as I said before, they already have a building that encroaches further into the setback than the planned property will. And so I just don't, it's one of these where they are requesting the minimum variances to allow them to use their lot basically as though Bay Road were not there, using the variance, the setbacks as though that road were not there. The fence, you can see there's an existing fence. If they have a pool, they will need a fence. There's already a fence down the whole left side for Spring Lake.
And the back.
And so there's fences already there. They just want that fence to be able to remain. And they will have to have a fence anyway. And so for all of these reasons, I would ask that the variances be granted. And I would like to have my clients say a couple words, unless you have some questions first.
We'll give you the floor.
Goodness.
Go ahead. You have the pictures. The pictures we presented, hopefully. Do you have all the pictures? Okay, good. We wanted to show you what it looks like currently from Spring Lake, and we essentially would be, it's already has two levels, so it wouldn't be structurally too much different. It would be a little bit longer, perhaps. But in the back, the setbacks we're requesting are really for a pool, and so it wouldn't be visually obstructive to going back. It would be in a fence. No one would even know it's there. Let's see what else. From the front, it would look better because the garage right now is practically on the line, and we'd be pushing it back, much further back, but we would be adding a second garage. Store our tools in, much like the previous case. And we hope to retire there and spend the next 30 years. We love our neighbors. We were here for Carol and Patton across the street last year to say it was okay. She's since actually sold that property, and we have renters across the street now. But she owns the property diagonal to us, and she sent a letter in, and they'll be redoing their house. And right next door, the Sikhs plan to redo their house. So it's very much the neighborhood is kind of bringing up the level. Our house is very old, wasn't insulated. And we were told at one point by the oil company that our house used the most oil in Rehoboth. So that goes to why we are changing it out. And we were also told when we bought the house 19 years ago that this house could not be built upon. It was structurally okay for what it was, but it really, we plan, if this is approved, to start over and perhaps move it out or donate the house or whatever, and start with something clean that would bring the neighborhood up.
You probably can't tell, but on Bay Road, on the front of our house, it's a three-house road, and the two houses before us, there we go. So the whole our street is three houses and a big pie shape, and we're the thin big piece of pie at the end. The other two houses also are summer homes. They don't have heat or year-round residents. So it's as far as how busy the street is. I don't know that you could find a street with less traffic. So we appreciate your consideration.
Any questions from the board?
Ms. state park area, I mean, I know you said it scares just a little bit farther, but there's not a lot of traffic going in and out of there.
No, people walk their dogs mostly. I understand the county has done a walking tour before, but in the 19 years that we've been there, I've never seen the group.
Do you consider the front of your property on Bay Road?
Yes. The back is a solid white vinyl fence that's...
No, the front of our property is Daisy.
I'm sorry. Sorry. Yes, the front is Daisy. I misspoke. And our address is Daisy. And the neighbors on Daisy Road in our little pie shape there, the front of their houses are also on Daisy. So Bay is just backyards.
Is your mailbox on Daisy?
Yes.
Thank you.
So to understand this, you're tearing your existing home down and building a new home?
Yes.
That is encroaching into the area where you need a variance?
Yes.
Okay. In the five criteria, it says not created by the applicant. When you are tearing down a home and you have a blank slate, completely clean, and you still need a variance, how would this not be created by the applicant?
Do you want to answer
it? Well, I believe the answer is because what's not created by them is the uniqueness of the property that brings us here, and that is the 30-foot rear yard setback. That's what's not created by them. Obviously, what their house looks like is, but that is kind of the gist of our argument, that the uniqueness here is that they have two front yard setbacks, and that is what the unique part is. So it is, of course, anything they build into that is their voluntary choice. But if they had the typical rear yard setback, I believe the only variance they would need would be for the corner of the outdoor kitchen. I think with what we determined was the only one that would not have fit in. So I don't know if that answers the question, but that is sort of the point of.
We were hoping keep the same profile to, because we've got the infrastructure under the house that can be reused. We would just sturdy it up and not, so when I say move the house, it would be the top part of the house and then heavy up the bottom structurally, because right now it's on pillars. So I don't know if that
blocks
directly answers your question.
How many square feet is the home?
Wow. I do not know.
We heard that before.
I'm figuring it. I mean, this is just going length by width, 3,200 square feet. Does that sound about right?
That sounds really large for that house, but possibly.
I mean, I'm looking at I'm looking at the drawing here. It's 40 feet by 79.2.
And these
floors. So that would be the first floor.
That's just the first floor,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Which is really our intent to have first floor living. I didn't think we were going to bring up medical things, but
that would be important to bring up.
It would. Okay. Well, I've had 6 surgeries in 6 years, and orthopedic related, and probably need another couple. And we want to maximize our first floor living. And you know, I'm in my 60s now, and we're going to put in an elevator if we're allowed to have this plan.
The plan was in the garage to put an elevator so that I could get her out of the car and into the house. I'm sorry.
Well. So anyway, we're trying to accommodate what is maybe a temporary disability, but you know, I don't know that anybody can anticipate. So we're just trying to be able to age in place, have enough space for us, and if we need a caretaker, you know, this might be too personal too, but we don't have children or family around, and we want to have a place for a caretaker or help if we need it, and we want to have a first-floor living experience in our older age. So that's kind of the...
If I could interject, I may be wrong, but it looks to me like the 79.2 feet on the left includes the garage. And maybe I'm not reading that right, but when I add up the other side, it doesn't come up to 79.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, I just want to make sure I was clear on that. And while I'm asking questions here, so what you're saying is that there's already a foundation there you want to keep?
Well, okay, let me, this is the part I realized I didn't articulate very clearly. Right now, there's only one bedroom downstairs, and it's teeny, and there's no bath connected to it. So it's not conducive to us reworking the existing walls and infrastructure to meet the needs that we feel we're going to need when we get older. It's an interesting, really, house. It's got a lot of, like, family room area, and somebody built on a sunroom back in the back, but it's not a bedroom.
You're not answering my question, though. Are you keeping the foundation of the original house?
We haven't gone to an architect yet. We've only had a structural engineer tell us that information, that you shouldn't be doing any more building on this building. It's fine for us, you know, your summer beach house. But so that was 19 years ago, and we didn't hire an architect yet, because everyone we've spoken to said you need to know where you're allowed to build before we need to design your house. So we're starting
here. That's not necessarily true. We have applicants who come here with designs, and it can be helpful for us to see what they're planning to build when we decide whether to give them a variance or not.
Oh, maybe it was just who we spoke with.
It's not required, but it's not a bad thing to do that. In this case, since you're doing a brand new house on what we would call a clean slate, meaning that you're tearing the house down and building brand new, it would be particularly important for us to see what you're planning to build. And the fact that it's unclear whether you can build on this foundation or not further kind of muddies the water, because the foundation you didn't put there, somebody else did, but if you're tearing it out, that kind of changes the nature of what we're looking at.
I don't know what we're doing with the foundation. I don't know
Honestly,
enough about it.
I feel like it's kind of chicken and egg. We've gone to architects, and they said they don't want to touch it until we get approvals, and then they'll work with us. So we'll do whatever you need us to do. I'm not retiring until we figure this out. And we've spent 2 years trying to do that, so I guess we just need direction on if somebody knows an architect that will work with us before we have a variance approval.
Let me ask you a few other questions here on the backyard. So is the proposed pool an in-ground pool?
Yes.
Is the deck that goes around it, is that on the ground or is that raised?
On the ground. It would be.
It would be.
Right now we're trying to make everything less than one step.
It would be less than 6 inches off the ground then?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And then you've got a proposed pool house. Is that going to be like on a block foundation, or is that going to be like a pole building type deal?
I don't know. I think it depends on what kind of pool. We've talked to a pool company too, and they kind of said the same thing. We can do drawings, but we need to know where your house is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then this outdoor kitchen, I guess that's basically, is that like a porch with a kitchen built into it? Is that the idea?
That's correct.
Okay.
So
I guess my overall kind of concern about this is, and maybe you could speak to this, are you, in comparison to the rest of the neighborhood, are you developing your property significantly more than your neighbors?
No.
You're not?
Absolutely
okay.
not.
Okay.
And not in a different vein either. We've seen some very modern houses. We've seen some colonial type. I mean, people are as they need to modernize, they're building a different style, so it's very eclectic. But the flavor of the neighborhood and the house, we would want to keep the same. In fact, we have a before picture when we bought the house 19 years ago, and then we have a picture of what we did with it. Would that help for you to see?
Well, and also, if you want me to point, I'll show you which houses have really this house across the street, this one has been recently renovated, all new, just gorgeous. This one just was done, redone. This one, they're putting in a request right now to redo the thing. These are all of our neighbors, and we kind of were working together to even change and get rid of the telephone lines and maybe sink them under the street. We're all fairly close. The ones next to us on this side, she is going to be redoing her house, and we have a letter from her. So she wants to build up and do modern. So we're all pretty much doing the same thing. And right over on two streets over, there's two houses going up. This is older. These two houses, this is a brand new building that's really high. It's three stories up with a large pool. It's very, very modern. And they're building right now another house that's going to be, it has probably an 8-foot like basement area that will be the, like their garage, and they're putting a 2-story mobile on top of that. It's going to be really fancy. And this one, anyway, the neighborhood is just changing. Everybody's.
And your neighbor that you said you were here for a variance, where are they located at?
She is, if we go back over here, she's right here. She owns this house now.
Diagonal.
This one right here. But at the time, she was asking for it, and she owned both at the time, and she renovated this whole thing, and now this is a rental, and this is directly across from our home.
Do you remember what that variance request was?
It was a variance to change the property line. She wanted to move it over from here to here so that she could move the fence.
2 feet.
I think that was it.
And members of the board, I'll also point out that 38.02 and another house right nearby are also multi-family houses. They're not single family. They've just been that way forever. I think that was a 3-unit home, and one around the corner is a 4 or 5 unit. They've just been there that way forever. And the variance on the 38.02 was a front yard to move so that people own side-by-side homes, and they wanted to expand. They were keeping the one on the left, selling 38.02, so they reduced the front yard. They kept the side yard. They didn't need a variance on the front, just on the front, on the side, I'm sorry, just on the front, so that they could expand their house next door. But I know there's two houses within, three houses of this property that are multifamily, that have just all, you know, their grandfather, they've been that way. And they're apartments. They're 3 and 4 unit apartments. So there's no, in that neighborhood, of all the neighborhoods around, there's no one type of house. There are many types, shapes, and sizes.
Mr. Sharp, do you have any questions?
I do. I just want to clarify, no vehicular access to Bay Road?
Not currently.
Okay. Ms. Estes and Ms. McNichol, I didn't hear you affirm Mr. Schaub's statements earlier. Do you swear or affirm the statements that he stated?
Oh, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
One of the things when I look at this, particularly when I see the design where it shows your existing versus proposed, and this does appear to be a lot that benefits from the small lot ordinance, which grants you a significant amount of leeway because it reduces your side yard setbacks by 5 feet on both sides, and it appears you've maximized that in your footprint here, as I understand. But when I look at your comparison that you've provided of existing to proposed, it appears to me, particularly with the pool being put there, that even though there, I would suggest that the shed, the garage in the off of Bay Road and Daisy Road, or the shed off of Bay Road, the garage off of Daisy Road, that they, you're not having anything necessarily as close as those structures. It does appear that a significantly larger portion of this lot is going to be covered by some sort of structure. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
And when I also look at this, even if we were to apply the rear yard, if we were just to say that the Bay Road didn't exist and that was a rear yard, I believe then the setback there would be 10 feet. Is that right, Ms. Norwood? Or is it 15?
It's 15 in AR1.
Okay. But they would get the benefit of the small lot ordinance if that were to be the case, if Bay Road was not there.
Right, it would give them 15 versus.
So they would have gotten a benefit there as well. And when I look at that, I see not one, not two, but multiple variances from that rear yard plus a front yard. And I believe that's what I heard Mr. Schaub testify to. Is that correct?
That's correct, whatever he said.
All right.
I don't know how many would be different.
The pool would require a 6-foot rear yard.
That's right. But the pool house would appear to be closer, and the outdoor kitchen would appear to be closer than the 15 feet.
And the outdoor kitchen would be held at 15. The proposed pool house is less than 600 square feet, so it could be 5.
It could be five. Okay, so we would be okay with that. It would just be that outdoor kitchen.
And that shed is being removed, by the way. I don't think I said that before.
Oh, yeah.
At least the impression I had was that basically if everything was going to be cleared, and then this would be kind of redeveloped. And if I'm misunderstanding that, please correct me.
Okay.
One of the standards that we have to also demonstrate to the board is that this will not create a condition which is so general and recurring to make it reasonably practical for the formulation of basically a derogation of our zoning code. And I think you've mentioned that there's other neighbors that are looking to develop and to do things on their property. Do we know if those folks are going to be looking at this going, well, they got a pool, they got a variance for a pool, and they got a variance for the front yard. Are we going to see more of these coming to the board?
I don't think we.
You don't know the nature of the place?
I don't know. I mean, we have other pools in the, there's on Bay Road. Already two of the four houses have pools. Two of the five houses already have pools. I don't think, I know our next door neighbor isn't interested in a pool, and the corner pie lot, they're not. So at least on our street, I know those neighbors aren't planning to do that.
Is there any homeowner association that needs to give approval for this?
No, sir.
Did you look at, and I think you had said that you've been in discussions with planning and zoning staff, but did you look at either a smaller kitchen, smaller pool, smaller home, smaller garage to suit your needs, or are there other designs?
Believe it or not, this is scaled back. We did after talking to our attorney. He thought that the length of the house might have been too much to ask for, and you know, having, I guess the garage seems like it's a third of the structure as you're looking at the footprint. But yeah, this is not our first draft. I think we did 5 with the Foresight Survey Company. Looking to get more and more in compliance.
Why is the pool and those related structures, when I say that, I mean the outdoor kitchen, the pool house, why is that necessary to enable reasonable use of the property?
Okay, so we currently, if you can see all that white behind on lot 43, that is our deck, and it's all outdoor. And we have people come over, and we have lots of tables and chairs and whatever, and it's just a tremendous amount of work for us to bring that in every year. So that portion will be enclosed in part of the house, part of the flat. It will be inside more, and we're looking to have a space where we can more easily take furniture and not have to. Right now, we take it, pick it up, and we physically move it to the front of the house to preserve it through the winter. And we're trying to figure out how, when we get older, are we going to manage outdoor furniture. I know it's silly, but these are real-world issues.
Well, I understand. You're building a house, you're looking forward and looking the future, but...
And basically, it's me doing it because she's bad.
Again, just trying to maximize our yard. We would like to stay there. We love the neighborhood. We've been there 19 years, but we can't put an elevator in the structure we have now. It's the first thing in my mind. It's just...
I think that, and this will be something the board has to weigh, is the law supposes that when you have a blank slate, you should, if you, you know, do your best to comply, and I think the chair was hitting on that point, that you should try to comply with the code as best you can. But you also, there's Supreme Court law that says, you know, you're not entitled to a pool. You're not entitled to certain amenities. Yeah. So, you know, that's where I kind of want to go back to my question. How are those amenities there, the outdoor kitchen, the pool, the pool house, necessary, enable reasonable use? Do you have an answer for that?
Actually, yes. Michaela is just like her mother, and her mother got through her arthritis by continuously moving in the water every day. So the plan is to keep her moving in a pool in the hot tub every day. And she's out there in the hot tub every day right now, but it would ideally get her in the pool and doing daily exercises so she can stay mobile. But that's...
I would just say quality of life is what we're asking for the variances for.
Okay, I don't have any further questions. Thank you.
I got a rough estimation of, like, the amount of prop, like you said, reasonable use. And you, I see your property is approximately 6,607 feet, plus or minus. Rough estimation of what will be covered either by pavers, home, pool, all this would probably be around 4,600 to 4,900 of that. That is a lot of area you're taking up in your property. That's could be considered excessive. 6,600 and you're using 49 of it that's either covered with pavers, home, pool. If you looked into a smaller pool, a one of those pools that's like the swimming. Yes.
What size should we go down to?
I'm asking if you've explored that.
We have made a number of changes. As I said, I didn't bring my notebook, but I made the first call to the county to get rules more than 3 years ago. I have another case number from ancient times and probably before computers. so we're not saying that all of the things we're asking for are essential to our existence, but we would like to maximize first floor or ground level use, and this is what we came up with to not have any side variances. Make it something that would really pretty much be invisible from four sides. I mean, the pool and this outdoor kitchen, nobody could see it unless they were even standing on a ladder and they were at 8 feet. I mean, we have solid white vinyl fences. And Spring Lake actually has an 8 foot or maybe even more. That purple fence in the pictures, that's Spring Lake fence. So it's even higher on that side.
Understand your need for a first floor living. I understand that. And to Mr. Sharp's point, I do understand. I just think more can be pared down to make it less of a variance on the front and the back. You move that garage back, home back, I think that would be less of a variance on the front, and scaled down would make less of the pool and the pool house and all that would make less of a variance on the back. Any other questions?
Did somebody else file a case for a variance on this property at one time?
I spoke with somebody, and just to get information when we started thinking about retiring, you know, I don't know if it was 3 or 5 or 6 years ago, but...
We bought the house and everything was out of variance.
Yeah, I understand. I just didn't see anything in the record about another variance application. That's why I was curious.
We didn't get to the application stage, but I did get a case number.
Oh, okay, I see.
Yeah, I don't know how to differ.
That's all right.
Yeah. It would have been under my name and the case number I could
but
find.
You didn't have a hearing in front of...
No, sir.
Okay, all right. Ms. Norwood, is there any kind of lot coverage question here?
No, the code doesn't have a lot coverage.
Yeah, that only comes into play in the mobile home manufactured home parks.
Okay, got it. All right, no more questions.
Could I ask what that lot coverage means? That means there is not a rule about hardscape or house or grass? Is that what that question
is? The issue is, and it's not applicable in your case, but if this were a manufactured home park and it was a lot, there's a 35% of the lot is the maximum being covered by structures.
I see.
So that has been consistent in the code for a long time.
And my comment was more based on whether what is considered excessive or not, not necessarily on that, which was just explained.
Okay, thanks.
Any further questions from the board? Mr. Sharp?
I have no, thank you.
Is there anyone present who is in favor of this application? Is there anyone present who is in opposition to this application?
I got it.
Operator? Thank you. If there are no further questions from the board, I will close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to approve the rear yard setbacks for case number 12663, but deny the front yard setback. I appreciate all the work they've done to try to put this into compliance, and with the through lot, understand the situation there. But as far as the front yard, I just think it's too big of a variance, and I think it would set a bad precedence for the rest of the neighborhood and surrounding properties.
And Mr. Hastings, when you say, because we have, they're basically two front yards, are you referring to Bay Road as the front yard? And Daisy Road is the rear yard?
Bay Road is...
I'm sorry, Day...
Rear yard.
Bay Road is the rear yard, so you would be... we have... Let me see here. We have a... And we also have a fence height variance. So you would be stating... You would be denying the variances off of Daisy Road for the garage, approving the variances off of Bay Road for the pool house, the pool, the walkway, and the outdoor kitchen.
And the fence.
And the fence.
Yep.
Okay, thank you for clarifying.
I'll second that.
I have a motion and a second. Dr. Carson?
Aye for the reasons.
Mr. Hastings?
Aye for my reasons.
Mr. Werfel?
Aye for the reasons.
And I vote nay. So with a vote of 3-1, case number 12663 has been approved.
In part and denied.
In part and denied in part.
Thank you very much.
We are going to take a 5-minute recess.